Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
One day, the parents get a call from her roommate saying, "I know you all care deeply for your daughter, and I just think you need to be aware of this."
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
That she's, for 2 months now, she hasn't paid her share of the rent. And I loaned her some money, and she hasn't paid me back. Mm. And I just think you all need to be aware of that. And so they shared with her, you know, what they had heard, and they said, "You know, we're beginning to realize that we really failed you in some ways. Here you are at this age, and you don't even know how to do laundry. And you don't know how to cook. And you don't know how to manage money." Mm. And in the conversation, you know, she said, "I just feel like y'all are very disappointed in me." And they said, "No, we're disappointed in ourselves."
Mm. More from Dr. Gary Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
When it comes to solar energy, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Atascadero says, quote, "Solarponics installed our solar system almost 20 years ago. The installation team was amazing. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. The Solarponics service teams are just as amazing. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 46 years of install and service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners, is your water heater more than 10 years old? If so, upgrade to a heat pump water heater. Heat pump water heaters are 60% more energy efficient, saving thousands in energy costs. Plus, you'll help reduce carbon emissions. Best of all, you may qualify for up to a 50% rebate when replacing an old gas or propane water heater. Learn more at solarponics.com/water heating. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Acclaimed American artist Dale Evers lives and works in Paso Robles, and he invites you to see his new works during the annual holiday open house this Friday, 2 to 7 p.m. at Dale Evers Studio at the corner of 10th and Park in Paso. Then on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., meet the artist and view his many works of art at Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden, 5015 Lanay Road in Paso Robles. For more information, go to DaleEversStudio.com. Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Once upon a time, there was an interior decorator named Jim and an auto mechanic named Charlie who went on a car trip together, their intended destination, the record book. For as far as either knew, nobody had ever before driven an automobile coast to coast and back without once shutting off the engine. There were plenty of reasons not to try it. The risk of starting a fire while refueling, for example, especially in Charlie's old Ford. Still, they took the idea to a Texaco oil company executive named Vos, and he agreed their proposed adventure would be a viable publicity stunt. And then he made Jim and Charlie a deal. If that crate lasts 500 miles, he said, then Texaco will underwrite the entire trip. And they shook on it. Charlie tuned up the old Ford as carefully as he could. It was late July before he was satisfied the car was mechanically perfect. And so on the 26th, Jim Hargis and Charlie Creighton embarked on their bold journey, New York to Los Angeles and back, with the motor running all the way. Taking turns at the wheel, they reached L.A. on the 13th of August. By then, the trip had attracted considerable attention. Reporters were amused to learn that the pair had been arrested in Pennsylvania for creating a public disturbance. Also, that they'd hit a skunk in the road in Ohio, and the odor from that had not completely dissipated yet. And with the Texaco insignia emblazoned on the doors of the old Ford, a friendly nickname had been adopted along the way. Their car was now being called the Star. As of their arrival in Los Angeles, the Star had been running continuously for 456 hours. That's 19 straight days. Now the return trip is underway. And that was finished on Sunday, September 7, when Jim and Charlie drove into the plaza at the end of Battery Place, New York, New York. Photographers were poised to preserve for posterity the most momentous moment of the trek of the Star, that at which, for the first time in 42 days, the engine of Charlie's old Ford would at last rest. Texaco officials were present to congratulate the intrepid travelers. What they accomplished would be newsworthy today. But it was all the more incredible when they completed their journey in September of 1930. You see, the Star, Charlie Creighton's old crate, was a Model A Ford Roadster. And the fastest it had driven throughout the entire trip was at 11 miles an hour. And what makes that remarkable is this. Had Jim and Charlie merely kept their car running coast to coast, you'd probably never have heard of them. But the reason they are now and always will be remembered in the annals of automotive achievement is that when they started their transcontinental round trip in New York City, Charlie's Model A was facing the Atlantic Ocean. And yes, I do mean to say, Jim Hargis and Charlie Creighton made history by driving New York to Los Angeles and back 42 days, 7,180 miles in reverse. They saw America backward. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Adam Verdin on the show. Adam Verdin is a local attorney. He is part owner of Old Juan's Cantina in Oceano. I will tell you, I've eaten there multiple times. It's right there by the dunes, and the food is fabulous. He is also, there are a number of people trying to get Adam to run for SLO County Supervisor District 4 against Jimmy Pauling in two years. I've asked him. He is not committed yet, but he is considering it. So there is a chance that he will be our next county supervisor. Today, we're focusing on some economic issues, and in a few minutes, we're also going to look at some things that are happening regarding vehicle usage on the Oceano Dunes. Partially, this is a huge economic benefit to the county. The Oceano Dunes brings in a lot of money, but right now, we were talking at the top of the hour about plans to bring in, with ACI Jet, a training program for both.
Yeah, so what this is, it's a program that was really, Bill Borgsmiller was the thought leader on this and the driver, and he is the CEO of ACI Jet. And what they did is they partnered with Cuesta College to create a program that trains folks to become airplane mechanics, right? And in the aviation industry, there's a high demand right now for both pilots and airplane mechanics. And so this, right, that opportunity, and I think they just had their first cohort complete the program, creates good earning head of household jobs for our community. Right. And people can participate through that program, I understand, through the Cuesta Promise. So if you're a graduate from one of our local high schools, you can do that program, and it's hugely advantageous. My point in that is that while the private sector, our county, and Cuesta are doing this and creating these jobs, as as elected people, our electeds need to promote housing and make it easier to build houses, not harder. Signal to developers, signal to home builders, we're going to make this, we're going to try to help you do this, not we're going to figure out ways of opposing it, right? I think it's a mixed message. Frankly, if you think about it, it's a waste of taxpayer dollars as well to, on the one hand, promote these jobs, and the other hand, not be able to house them.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I watched the Dana Reserve hearings at the Board of Supervisors, and there was also talk that they're putting aside land for a South County Cuesta campus. There's a campus here in Paso.
Right.
So if you live here in Paso, you can take most of your classes in your hometown. But people in Napomo, they have to drive all the way up past San Luis Obispo to get to a campus. And there has been plans for a campus down there for decades. But with this development, that is looking like it could be possible in the future.
Correct. And so, you know, my understanding is land is dedicated to Cuesta College for that purpose, right? You know, one thing too, Karen, if I could just talk a little bit about housing and development and the concern that a lot of us, myself included, have about just the urbanization of our area that we love. We love the nature and character of where we live. But I think it's important to point out that about three quarters of our land mass, we have about 2 million acres here in the county, about three quarters of our land mass is preserved either by national parks, national monument, state parks, Williamson Act property. We have a lot of protected land from development.
Two-thirds?
It's three-quarters. Three-quarters of it. Yeah, yeah.
That's even bigger.
it's three-quarters, yeah.
So the bulk of this, of our land, will never be built on.
It's highly unlikely that it would be built on. I mean, of course, the Williamson Act can fall out of that. But we have a lot of, and let me just say, I think it's important that we work to keep it that way, right? And there are appropriate places to build houses. We need to build houses. And we certainly need to protect our open spaces as well.
And I want to switch gears and discuss what's going on at the Oceano Dunes. As many people do know, there is a group that has wanted to shut down the Oceano Dunes for decades. There's been a push with the California Coastal Commission claiming it's not good for the county, it's not good for the environment, and we need to shut it down. But on the other side, do you know the economic numbers for what they believe is brought in every year with the Oceano Dunes?
Oh, yeah, I do. So SLOCAL commissioned a study. I think we got the results. Maybe it was last year, a year before last. It was in total economic contribution to our county. It's about $500 million. We have about 2 million visitors a year. As compared to when I was looking it up, it's about 1 million visitors a year to Hearst Castle. We have a lot of people coming to visit the Oceano Dunes.
And with the economy as bad as it is right now, do you think this is a good time to say, hey, we're going to close it to the traffic?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to see. So the county has a legislative platform, right? What they're advocating for and in Sacramento. What I would love to see is a component of that platform, a leg of that platform, to advocate to keep the Oceano Dunes open, right? To not sit there passively and say, oh, it's in the courts, right? But be more active and more positive about that support, because it is important. Because the $500 million, what's important about that are the jobs that that represents. That's the piece of it. And if you think about it from the totality of the off-road area has been reduced now by 50%. We have, I don't know, I think it's like over a thousand miles of shoreline in California. We're down to 5 miles for OHV, reduced by 50%. I think the folks that wanted to reduce that have succeeded. They've done it. So let's keep what we have at minimum.
And one of the things that has happened is there were multiple groups that went to the California Coastal Commission, and they pushed, we have snowy plovers, they pushed a number of different reasons for them, and they made a decision to shut down the dunes. Their plan was to shut it by 2025. There's a group called Friends of the Oceano Dunes. They sued the Coastal Commission. They said they overstepped their bounds. They won that lawsuit. But as, and I will tell you, there have been multiple suits against the California Coastal Commission in the last 5 years where the Coastal Commission has lost specifically because they overstep their bounds. And then in this case, as in almost every case, the Coastal Commission then files an appeal. And there was an appeal filed in this case. It hasn't been heard yet. And there's several amicus briefs coming in. Environmental groups are using a group of people called, they call themselves the Northern Chumash. They have argued they're a Chumash tribe, and as such, they have a right to say you shouldn't do this. There is a requirement. There are government requirements, multiple different policies and rules regarding listening to an indigenous tribe who has some say over that area. Well, guess what? Not the Northern Chumash, but the Santa Ynez Band of the Chumash Mission Indians. Many of you know the casino and have been there. They're actually the only nationally recognized Chumash tribe. They're the only nationally recognized tribe that has any say over our county. So you have the Salinian who are also, they're not nationally recognized, but they have shown lineage to the Indian tribes. But then you have the Northern Chumash. The Northern Chumash are saying, we should be able to say what happens with Indians in the, with indigenous people in this county. Here's what is not being known to most people. Back in, I think it started in about 2013, the Salinian Indians said, stop letting them get up on Morro Rock and do things. They're not real Indians. Years ago, there was a man named Fred Collins. Fred Collins lived in this county. When he was in his 20s, he was busted in Pismo Beach by U.S. custom agents. He was smuggling cocaine in from Mexico. He went to prison. After that, he got out, and he claimed that he actually founded the Northern Chumash tribe, claimed he was an indigenous person, and while it wasn't federally recognized or recognized by almost any group, it became a tribe, and then he, not a recognized tribe. Then he made a living. He made a living monitoring construction sites. So let's say you want to do a new house in Los Osos where they've had bodies of an indigenous Indians found in the past. He would sit there in a chair having his lunch and drinking and spending the day and getting paid large money to be an indigenous monitor of the site in case they found any indigenous artifacts. So he made a living for years and years and years. And then the Salinians said, no, stop paying him. He's not really an Indian. Well, he argued there was a court case in 2017. And guess what? The person they asked to look at him and decide, you know, they had someone do a genealogy. They came back, no, no, no. His mother, Harold, was from Mexico. We had Mexican heritage. The family was from Mexico. And the father didn't appear to be Indian either, and he didn't have Indian heritage. He then came out and said, well, an aunt once told me I had another aunt that had some Indian in her. That is what we call a pretend Indian, or they call pretendians. And it's someone that says, I should be treated as a, you know, a certain, be able to make money as an Indian and have say as an Indian based on something that cannot be traced to anything. So that happened back then, and they have continued. They were pushing the Marine Sanctuary, the Chumash Marine Sanctuary, which I think they've kind of lost their status because, again, there's court rulings regarding the actual foundation of this tribe. The chief was Fred Collins. His daughter is now running the tribe, and her connection to being Indian is her dad. And her dad, again, the court documents do not show that this man is a true, and you know, that has any way to trace any indigenous tribal connection. They're both fighting, both the actual San Ynez Indians. They want to keep it open. They believe that that is tied to, the area is tied to their tribe, and they believe it brings in traffic to their casinos, helps them out financially. What do you think about what is going on right now with the battle to close the dunes? Do you want it closed?
No. I think I agree with the folks that want to keep it open. And I think there's also a misperception. I think there's, it's not fully understood all the activities that happen out there. And I think a lot of our local papers don't do a good job of representing it well. They assume that every single person that goes out onto the dunes is, you know, jumping off of dunes, and some of them do, and I'm frankly happy that they're having a good time. That's part of the activity that's allowed and should be allowed out there. But also, there's people that access it that couldn't otherwise access the beach, right? There's people that go out there and they go fishing, or they take their family out there and they build sandcastles. They go out there in their minivans and so forth. So there's a lot of different activity out there, and you got to think of the vehicles as access to the beach. So really, to my mind. When you say no vehicles coming onto the beach, you're really restricting the access of it as well as eliminating or hurting a huge economic driver for our county.
And I will tell you, I when I was a child, my dad would drive us down and we'd drive on the beach. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that. But as an adult, I have not driven on the beach. But I remember as a child, the amount of sand dollars on that beach were ridiculous. I took my grandchildren. We didn't drive onto the beach. We parked over by Finn's, and then we walked down. And there is nowhere in this county that you will see the amount of sand dollars you do on that beach. Mm-hmm. And especially in the morning during low tide, they're everywhere.
Right. No, they are. 100%. And I think that training in terms of where you can and can't drive is important. I think safety is important, but I think we can access it responsibly.
And I do think one of the arguments to closing it is that people can't go down there unless you're driving. And that was why I brought that argument. But we're going to talk more about the Oceano Dunes and the economy of the county after a word from our sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending higher with the Dow surging over 400 points, while the tech-heavy Nasdaq rose slightly as some big names in tech weighed on its performance. Alphabet shares fell over 4% after the Justice Department said that its Google should be forced to sell off its popular Chrome browser, the latest twist in the government's antitrust case against the tech giant. Shares of Nvidia wavered but did end up 0.5%. The chipmaker reported blockbuster earnings results and an upbeat outlook, but the report failed to meet some investors' sky-high expectations. Most of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were higher, with tech and financials leading the charge. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Home Depot, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Amazon, Boeing, and United Health Group. The Dow up 462 points, the Nasdaq higher by 6, S&P 500 up 32. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, this is Heather Bourdain, and I am excited to announce that I've joined Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers. I was born and raised right here in beautiful San Luis Obispo County. I have over 20 years of experience in the insurance industry, and I'd be happy to review your current program. Every day I work with contractors, farmers, garage owners, restaurant owners, and more. I would love to hear from you. I can be reached at 805-540-3900 or heather@adlerbelmontgroup.com.
It's our dedication to five-star service that has made A1 Glass the only Central Coast Milgard supplier to be named Milgard Dealer of the Year, and why your neighbors voted us the best glass company. Plus, we have over 140 five-star reviews online. Hi, this is Brian Carroll with A1 Glass. You have a choice when it comes to your Milgard windows and doors. Choose the best and contact A1 Glass today. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Time for the 22nd annual Cowgirl Christmas with over 200 local Western holiday artists and vendors at the Paso Robles Event Center on November 29th and 30th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Go to cowgirlchristmaspaso.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Posted earlier today, Pretendian and federally recognized tribe battle over Oceano Dunes. It's a little bit about this fight over the Oceano Dunes by one group that was started and deemed not to be a recognized tribe, and an actual recognized tribe, the Santa Ynez Chumash. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, I was just calling to say thank you for all your continued service and investigating and on this great issue, the Oceano Dunes. Love hearing Adam's ideas on the Board of Supervisors being more aggressive towards taking a stance on keep the Oceano Dunes open. I really hope that they follow through with that. Greatly appreciate the show.
Thank you very much. And doesn't your opponent, Jimmy, I know he ran. When he ran for office the first time, it was a lot. I want the Oceano Dunes shut down. I'm going to help shut down the Oceano Dunes. He put out a newsletter earlier this month in which he actually talks about this appeal. And he said it's coming back, but even if we lose the appellate court, I think the Supreme Court, which is much one of the most, the California Supreme Court, is very liberal, that they will do what we want and shut it down. So he's even talking in his news brief about if we lose the appeal, don't worry, we'll win the next step. Do you think he's not seeing the economic issues in the county right now to most people?
I'm gonna go back just a little bit. So you characterize him as my opponent. He's not my opponent. I am only a disgruntled constituent.
Okay. Well, what I brought up earlier, I asked him if he was going to run for office, and he said, I'm being asked to. I haven't made a decision. And so I shouldn't. You're maybe opponent in the future is what I should have said.
Right. So, with regard to the dunes, right? So I agree with the caller. I think the county is in a position to take a more aggressive or a more positive, more affirmative stand to do that. And I'm also a big proponent of training. Folks that are operating vehicles out there should be trained and should be knowledgeable about, you know, going out there responsibly. And I'm sorry, Karen, I think I might have missed your question. Was there a...
Do you believe that there are people that still want to shut down the dunes?
Sure.
But do you believe this would be a major economic issue during the downturn to shut down the Oceano Dunes off-road vehicle usage at this time?
It'd be 100%. Here's what I'd say. If you're in favor of closing the dunes, then I'd like to know what your idea is to replace that. What is the economic driver? What are you going to do to replace that in South County and for the county as well? Because that's really the next part of that question is then what's your idea? If you're going to break it, how are you going to fix it?
And one of the ideas which REACH, which is a local group that does a lot of economic forecasts, they're promoting moving the county into an industrialized, in, you know, putting the offshore wind energy and industrializing the Port San Luis and part of Morro Bay. But they actually say that after it is in and running, there's only going to be 250 jobs. Do you think 250 high-paying jobs in wind energy would make up for the lost fishing industry, lower hospitality, and losing the Oceano Dunes?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have an opinion about the dunes, a strong one. I have an opinion about housing. I have an opinion about Diablo Canyon, the economy in general. In terms of wind energy, I honestly don't know enough about it to tell you. Here's what I will say about it. I suspect that that's going to be a much more challenging thing under the new presidential administration.
I agree. I have a feeling this, I think it's very unlikely to, 3 months ago, I thought it was almost definitely going to happen and there was nothing anyone can do. At this point, I'm on the other side. I think it's more likely not to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree with that, right? That it's, that just, it's not a position of my, I just think that that's probably how that game is going to get played out, that issue.
And let's switch over to Diablo Canyon. What are your views on Diablo Canyon?
Well, I think that it should stay. It should continue its op. Look, Diablo Canyon, they're our largest private employer in our county. They provide 9% of the energy to the state of California. They produce clean, reliable, safe energy. I mean, if you want to pull the plug on it, I think you're crazy. I mean, it's just nuts to me. What do we have, like 450 nuclear power plants around the world? I think we've had three incidents. I heard yesterday, I was at the NRC meeting regarding Diablo last night, and I think there was a professor at Cal Poly that commented that maybe there were in total 30 or 35 deaths worldwide related to nuclear power accidents, right? And there's three of them that we know. It's Three Mile Island, Fukushima, and Chernobyl. So I think it's very reliable, very safe. We should keep it open. It's important to our community. It's important to our state.
And let's also talk about another thing, and I won't call him your opponent, the current supervisor in District 4, Jimmy Paulding, has proposed closing the Oceano Airport in the past.
Well, you know,
discussing it.
Now, there is a point. I'd actually commend him on changing his view on that. So I actually had a meeting with him some months ago, and we talked specifically about the Oceano Airport, and there were some things there, right? So I think some of his supporters, what they wanted to do was to scrape the airport and build a shopping center there. Well, the problem is it's a wetland. It's under the purview of the Coastal Commission, and the FAA has designated that airport as an essential airport. Huge uphill battle. One, to get rid of the airport, and two, to build anything else out there. So it's just not practical. It's just not pragmatic. So Supervisor Paulding, to his credit, actually championed a resolution to keep the airport open. Now, while I commend him for doing that, one of his chief supporters is a gentleman in Oceano that was that sits on the Oceano Community Services District Board, a gentleman by the name of Charles Varney, who is absolutely opposed to continued operation of the airport. And Paulding, there were two Democrats running for that seat. Paulding decided to endorse Charles Varney, even though he knows he has that view. And so that's a little confusing to me, a little bit of a conflict of, okay, do you want the airport open or do you want to advocate for the guy that wants to close the airport? But I will say that I do commend him for that resolution.
And I was not aware that he had changed his mind.
Well, he changed his mind in the resolution, and I appreciate that. That was a 5-0 vote at the Board of Supervisors. I am a little confused as to why you would endorse somebody that no other elected official endorsed. The Democratic Party didn't endorse, but Jimmy Paulding did. And one of his chief aims concerns is the airport and wants it closed. And can I talk a little about the airport?
Yes.
So if you think about our airports in our county, you got to think of it as it's our air transportation system, right? We have three airports. We have Oceano, San Luis Obispo, and Paso Robles. And as San Luis Obispo becomes busier, and in fact, it's a little economic powerhouse for us. The importance of Paso and Oceano heightens as reliever airports, right? As airports where airplanes that maybe it's too busy there in San Luis, there isn't enough ramp space, you can go to these other airports and go. It's very common, right? If you're going to LAX, and I'm a charter pilot. If you're dropping somebody off, sometimes you drop them off in Hawthorne, or if you're going to San Francisco, you drop them off in San Carlos. So the airport serves an important purpose that's only going to heighten as we move forward, I think.
And I do agree, the airport, especially the Paso. You're on the Airport Land Use Commission. Do you guys oversee all the airports in the county?
The three airports, yeah. So our job in the Airport Land Use Commission is to ensure that we're complying with your airport land use plan, which really is about compatible uses around your airport.
And do you have some say in what is happening with the proposed spaceport in Paso Robles?
Nope. We deal with land surrounding outside of the airport property, but not what's happening on the airport itself. Now, I suspect that if you're launching rockets or whatever you're going to do, it's going to affect your noise profile. Perhaps there might be an update to that plan. I don't know how that looks. I mean, a spaceport, a commercial spaceport, that's a new animal.
I will tell you, I know that we're attracting some big names, that the engineering companies, one of the major engineering companies that does one of the most sophisticated drones made in this country is now looking at moving into the, working out of the airport, I think property right near the airport. So it is starting to attract some big powerhouses, financial powerhouses to our community, and the jobs in that will be fabulous.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but that's great news.
I know some people involved in it.
Yeah.
And they're one of the, Ukraine is actually purchasing drones from this company for the war with Russia.
Oh, wow.
So we are getting some leaps and bounds in the military side of industry.
Well, I didn't know that information, but it's not surprising. I mean, we have Vandenberg Space Force Base to the south. We have the Aerospace Engineering School at Cal Poly. And there's a number of engineering and aerospace firms in San Luis itself. So that's good news it's good news that more is coming.
What else do you think could be done? What are the primary things that you think should be on the supervisor's priorities for economics in the county?
Well, I think first, let's just make some sound decisions, right? So we clearly need housing, right? First of all, building houses, that itself is a job-promoting endeavor, right? And then, of course, the people, if you're building workforce housing, middle-class housing, that by definition is also promoting jobs and businesses in our economy. So I think that's a real easy, safe, simple thought process or approach. And then the other thing is you have these obvious economic drivers. The Oceano Dunes is an example of that. Diablo Canyon is an example of that. Promote it. Support it. Don't oppose it. Right? Don't signal to PG&E, hey, it was barely a 3-2 vote to support the extension. Right? So I would imagine if you were PG&E, you have to game that. You have to look at that and say, hey, that wasn't a 5-0 vote. That was a 3-2 vote. We need to be judicious. We need to be careful. That would be my thinking if I were sitting in those shoes. I have no idea what they're thinking on it. And generally, just in a general sense, signal to the business community, signal to people. I said, hey, we want good, high-paying jobs here. We're going to do what we can to do that. How can we be a good neighbor to you? Do we have regulations that make sense? Do we have zoning that makes sense? Are we being, proactive on these things? Are we going to create a framework that's just more difficult from a regulatory standpoint?
Are you? How do you feel about property rights? Right now, we have a property right argument. We have two supervisors that are massively for not taking property by eminent domain unless it is for a needed purpose. For example, they need to increase a road size. We're talking primarily about the Bob Jones Trail. Debbie Arnold and John Pashon have both said, I am not going to vote to take away someone's property rights to do eminent domain for a recreational project. We'll wait till after a break from our sponsors and find out how you feel about that.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir. Just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peekpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
Right now, I've got a special going on all my Chatham & Wells mattress sets.
Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles, tell me more.
I'm taking 15% off my already low prices, which I'm the lowest anywhere. I'm significantly lower than Mattress Firm and online prices.
You'll find Rich London, the mattress specialist, at the corner of 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Paso Robles Glass from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzic windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took, showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Paso Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Paso Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Paso Robles Glass, the Milgard replacement window masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. 805-238-4014.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Adam Verdin. He's a local attorney. He is the owner of Old Juan's Cantina in Oceano. He's on multiple boards, Parks California, the airport land use, the Five Cities Homeless, Jack's Helping Hand. And there are a number of people currently trying to talk him into running for San Luis Obispo County Supervisor against Jimmy Paulding. He has not made his decision at this time, but I wanted to get him on the show to talk about some of the county issues. One of the things that has been a big brouhaha is the Bob Jones Trail. And again, they want to connect a piece in the middle. There's a lot of people on both sides of the fence who would like it connected, especially for hospitality. There are people in Avila, you know, hotels, different things that would say, please, just find a way to make this work. They had a plan. There were, I think, in the beginning, five hard no's on doing this. Both supervisors, Debbie Arnold and John Pashon, said we're opposed to it. And then when it was time to vote, John Pashon said, was going to vote, and Bruce Gibson told him, wait a minute, you can't vote on this. You have a reason not to, because you were given money by one of the hard no's, the last holdout. So John didn't vote. Then, more recently, kind of surprisingly, he was beat up in a Tribune article saying, well, you should have voted. Well, guess what, Tribune? If he's a hard, if John Pashon is going to vote no, and you need a three-fourths vote to make this work and do eminent domain, it doesn't matter if he's stepping aside out of a conflict of interest, abundance of caution. It makes zero difference. He already said, I will never vote for eminent domain on a recreational project. What is your view on recreational domain and voting for eminent domain? And what do you think should have happened with this Bob Jones Trail?
Well, so let me just, a couple things. One, I did not read the staff report. I know about the Bob Jones Trail just by reading the paper, reading about it. But to me, eminent domain is the nuclear option, right? It's it is a necessity for the community before you determine that then that's why you're taking somebody's property. So then the question is taking property for recreational activity necessary for the community? Here's what I think. I think it'd be immensely helpful. I wish that the property owner would do it, but it's not my property to say that he needs to and is required to do it. One thing I think that's sometimes missed in all of this is my understanding is that gentleman was a hard no. I don't remember the name of the property owner, don't know him. But I understand he was a hard no for a number of years, right? And then I'm learning from you that there were five hard no's. So if our staff is aware that these are hard no's now for a period of time, you would think that there would be an alternative, a plan B, if you couldn't resolve the property issue. So I also look at it perhaps, and I don't know all the facts, so I want to be clear and I want to be, you know, not unkind to the staff, but it's possible as well that maybe there was a lack of planning on this as well.
So do you think they should have had a option two before they were looking at losing financial grants from the state?
Well, it sounds like they're trying to come up with an option two now, that an option two exists now. So if it exists now, why didn't it exist before, and why wasn't they're planning for it? And are we going to take away this gentleman's property, whether it's a little tiny bit, whether it's a little sliver or a big sliver or whatever it is? I really don't know how much property we're talking about, but are we going to take away that property because we're not doing our planning? I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. And I want to qualify that I have not read the staff report. I don't know all of the ins and outs, but that's my view on it.
And one of the reasons the people did not want this going through their properties was because it does attract homeless to camp near it. And they did not want people trespassing on their very rural properties.
Right. And whether, you know, and I don't know the set of facts related to it, but it's not my, you know, my view is it's not my property. So how do I take it?
So you're a property rights activist, or you're pro-property rights.
Well, I'm pro-property rights, right? And as I say, I mean, I think that, you know, whatever we can do to cajole, to encourage, to get this gentleman to, because I think it would be a wonderful thing to connect to Bob Jones Trail. I truly do. I think it would be a very nice thing, a very good thing for the community. People have been at work at it for a long time. However, it's not my land to take.
And I know that they're looking, it's going to be very tough to get this through in time and to do the changes, but they are pushing, doing the changes. But again, it in the beginning, it was like, let's just take this by eminent domain. And there were quite a few Tribune articles. I think there was a recent one trashing John Pashon for not voting.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was allowed to vote. I don't think he could vote, right?
Well, he could. What happened was the time limit was over and he was still stepping down, but it made no difference. He either votes no or he doesn't vote. They still don't have their 3/4 vote. I don't even know why you're writing what the news article was.
Mm.
You know, why this was, how would you say, negative against John Pashon. Oh, he should have watched it, and as soon as he could vote. He had already said, I'm going to vote
right. No. Yeah.
Either don't vote at all because of a conflict or vote no. They actually have the exact same outcome. You can't do eminent domain without a 3/4 vote.
Right. Yeah, no. You know, as I say, I mean, I just look at that. The example is whoever's listening out there, if you own a home, would you be okay if we took a little sliver of that and put a bike lane on it? And I'm guessing you probably wouldn't be okay with that. And as I wouldn't be if you wanted to do that on my land.
And again, I think the primary fear was that they would have homeless utilizing their property.
Sure. And whatever their concern is, my view is that it's their property. So whatever maybe they don't like bikes. I don't know what their deal is. It's just not my land to make that decision for, in my view, a recreational activity. I just have a hard time getting around that.
And there are another question regarding the planning department. Are you happy with, you probably don't know all the ins and outs of the planning department. Are you a person that thinks we need to do more fees and more permitting? Or are you more of a, let's lower the amount of fees and permitting and promote housing?
Well, I think we need to promote housing. We need to do, look, I don't think our county suffers from a lack of fees and a lack of taxes. I just don't think that's what afflicts us, right? So I would not be in favor of increasing either, right? In a general, and there's a safety issue. There's an overriding necessity to do it. But raising fees, raising taxes is the last thing you do in the menu of options that you have.
And I'm a person who, because of my occupation, I read the budget reports, sadly, from almost every agency, city council and county agency. And what I have seen lately, for example, the city of San Luis Obispo, their TOT is down, their sales tax is down. Those are two of their primary funding sources. But what they did is they made new fees, a lot of new park fees. They charge for things they didn't charge for in the past, new planning department fees, and some of their fees more than doubled. And they were able to make their budget work by the new fees. Santa Maria right now is also in, they had a Santa Maria and Paso Robles in their proposed budgets, both had more than $40 million in the red, both. Paso Robles, I think they took a little over $10 million out of reserves, and they canceled some services, and they stopped some projects to make their, you have to go in with a balanced budget at the beginning. And they had a balanced budget after they, again, took money out of the reserves. Mm-hmm. But they're saying, we're fine. Santa Maria, with almost the exact same amount of money out there, is saying, okay, we're in a real budget problem. Our TOT is way down. Our sales tax are down. Families are hurting. What do we do? Do we cut our own budget and look at, hey, let's tighten our belts, or do we increase fees and taxes against the population, or do we do a combination of both? Where do you generally lean?
I generally lean on the cost cutting side, right? And that's just, I think, coming from a small business. Right. And so, I mean, if, that's where I would start. Right. And sometimes, yes, you do need to raise your menu price. Sometimes you do need to do that, but you start with cost cutting. That's where you do. You tighten the belt as much as you can, and then you see what else you need to do.
And Adam, I wanted to get as much in about you today. Adam Verdin, he is not committed, but he has been asked to run for County Supervisor in District 4. Thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2.